This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
This is The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to The Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. Blanketing 17 of the United States and much of Canada. Backed by popular demand, we have with us former United States Ambassador Ronald Gidwitz. He was the United States Ambassador to the European Union from 2020 to 21, appointed by President Donald Trump, preceded by Gordon Sondland, and succeeded by Mark Gitenstein. He was also United States Ambassador to Belgium from 2018 to 2021, preceded by Denise Bauer and succeeded by Nicholas Berliner. And he was chairman of the Illinois State Board of Education from 1999 to 2003, appointed by Governor George Ryan, preceded by Lou Mervis, and succeeded by Janet Steiner. Very gifted diplomat and statesman who's represented our country with distinction and success. Let's talk first about the border. And Kamala Harris was appointed years ago as the border czar, and we're talking about 10 or 11 million illegals coming across the border, where the United States is having the tough time of feeding them, clothing them, medicating them, educating them, policing them. Let's talk about Kamala Harris's record on the southern border, Ambassador Ronald Gidwitz.
Well, Brian, it's not very good. I don't need to tell you or your listeners. For the last 3.5 years, the border has been wide open. President Trump went out of his way to secure the border quite effectively when he was president from 2016 to 2021. And unfortunately, on opening day of the Biden administration, they eliminated by executive order many of the controls that he had put in place and appointed Vice President Kamala Harris to be the border czar. And the results everybody can see in virtually every hometown in America. As you say, we're overrun with illegal immigrants. They choke our school system. They fill beds that might be used otherwise for veterans and homeless American citizens. They require housing. They require medical attention. I saw an article just a day or two making the argument that the state of Massachusetts could go broke with the expenditures that they need to make in order to support the illegal immigrants that are here as a result of Kamala Harris's negligence on our border.
Let's talk about inflation. When Donald Trump left, it was 1.5-2% inflation, and now we're talking about 3-4%, doubling the inflation rate. When you used to go to a grocery store 4 years ago, four items might have been $20. Now it's doubled. A lot of people are having problems just putting food on the table and having to work two or three jobs to support a family due to the excessive inflation in the United States. Gas was about $1.85 a gallon when Trump left, and now it's about $3.60 a gallon, or doubling. Let's talk about the crippling inflation in the United States under the Harris-Biden regime.
I mean, it's breathtaking how the picture changed in literally almost overnight with the Biden-Harris administration coming to office. You talk about inflation being 2-4%. Actually, it hit 8% for a period of time. And it's forcing people to make decisions. Do you want medication for your family? Do you want housing for your family? Do you want food on the table? And people are having to make those kinds of decisions, which hasn't happened in recent history, and certainly didn't happen during the Trump administration. Kamala Harris is part of the decision-making process of this current administration. She has essentially said she wanted to continue many of the same practices that have been employed over the last 4 years. And I, quite candidly, am frightened for America. We can't afford the kind of inflation that we saw during the Biden-Harris administration for another 4 years. It will essentially bankrupt too many Americans. And you'll not only see illegal immigrants on the street, but you'll also see a lot of American citizens that are entitled to be put at the front of the line when government is spending our taxpayer money.
Very expensive, very expensive. I see it every time I fill
and
up
tragic.
The...
tragic. I mean, the stories are just are heartbreaking when you read about people who elderly people who are on fixed incomes who have to make a choice. Do they pay their mortgage payments? Do they put food on the table? Or do they buy medication? They can't do all three. And that's not the way America should be. But that's the way America is today, because that's where the Biden-Harris administration put us. It's wrong.
It's a terrible shame. Basically, things costing double from 4 years ago. Let's talk about another situation that Kamala Harris is involved in, and that's the Green New Deal. She backed it 5 years ago. She wants to do it with gasoline-powered cars, have all electric cars. Doesn't seem like our electric grid can handle so much more usage. There are brownouts in California. So where are we on Kamala Harris and the Green New Deal and doing away with gas cars?
It's not only gasoline-driven automobiles, Brian. It's also doing away with gas-powered stoves, gas-powered heating systems, gas-powered electrical generating systems. We don't have the capacity to replace all of these sources of electricity and energy to satisfy, frankly, I think, a faulty thought process. Sure, the world is getting warmer, but the real problem is not so much the use of automobile gas-powered automobiles in this country. It's just the use of organic material carbon-based material across the world. And if the Indians and the Chinese don't stop burning coal, if the Africans don't stop burning wood, anything that we do in our piece of the world isn't going to make much of a difference. And those people really aren't doing much to turn the situation around. The other thing that bothers me about automobiles, about the use of generating capacity or the loss of generating capacity for electricity, is that this calculus that is being used to figure out how much energy is used by and how much carbon is saved by using electric vehicles, they're not taking into account the cost of production of the vehicles themselves, where you have very expensive processes which are very harmful to the environment being used to manufacture these automobiles. Sure, they may be a little more efficient from an electrical energy usage standpoint once they're produced, but making the car itself is damaging to the environment. And think about how many people, how many workers are going to be put out of work with this Energy New Deal just with automobiles. And I'm not sure on the numbers, but directionally speaking, there's in a gas-powered vehicle, there's something like 1,200 parts. In an electric vehicle, there's 250 parts. Requires a lot less manufacturing, a lot less labor, and therefore a lot fewer jobs. What happens to our auto workers in this country and the other people that support the manufacturing of automobiles in this country, or for that matter abroad? Who's going to replace those jobs?
We're learning a great deal from a former United States ambassador to the European Union and Belgium, Ronald Gidwitz, a man with a lot of common sense and very enlightened mind. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, Toronto, or Washington, D.C., to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power, please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. A little plug here, the Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Eagle has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Eagle. It is available in Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. A little bit more information about Ronald Gidwitz. He's an American businessman, diplomat, and political candidate who served as U.S. ambassador to Belgium while also serving as acting United States ambassador to the European Union. He is the son of prominent Chicago businessman Gerald Gidwitz. Ambassador Gidwitz served as president and CEO of Helene Curtis Industries, which was sold to Unilever in 96. In 98, Ambassador Gidwitz co-founded the private equity firm GCG Partners, which he served as partner at. Very gifted businessman, diplomat, statesman, Ronald Gidwitz. Let's talk about energy costs. Trump has said, drill, baby, drill, to lower energy costs, to lower inflation and cost of every product in America. How do you see his program, Ambassador Gidwitz?
Well, I think you captured it when you said that the price of fuel was incredibly low during his administration. One of the early executive orders of the Biden-Harris administration was to stop, some say illegally, the issuing of permits for drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and in various parcels of United States government land, which drillers are by law entitled to. And it's been in litigation, I think, ever since the early part of his administration. Well, if you don't drill and you don't find and you don't pump, then you're going to have a scarcity, and that's exactly what's happened. One of the other things that people don't realize, when the Biden-Harris administration saw that the price of gasoline was rising so rapidly, they started to release from our national stockpiles the petroleum that's been stored for an emergency. So they've driven down the availability of, in the event of emergency, of our national stockpiles of petroleum to a level that hasn't been seen in years. What would happen if there was a boycott? What would happen if there was some crisis in the world that prevented us from getting oil? We would be in serious trouble, because this administration has decided to deplete our reserves just to put a Band-Aid on a problem they created by eliminating the permitting. It's a disgrace.
Let's talk about another matter of great concern. A lot of people are upset that 14.6 million people voted for Biden, and now we have another person who's going to be representing the Democratic Party who received no votes. And the fact that perhaps she was hiding the fact for 3 years that Biden had serious cognitive issues and dementia and senility, and they hid that from the American public until it came out in the debate where he really was lost completely and couldn't talk. Let's talk about Harris, Kamala Harris, hiding the dementia of Joe Biden from the American public. Ambassador Gidwitz.
Well, Brian, I don't know if it was hidden. Certainly the Democratic administration wouldn't talk about it. The Biden White House wouldn't talk about it. The Vice President Harris wouldn't talk about it. But it was pretty obvious if you would go back to the report that was made by the special counsel who looked into the classified paper issue that Biden had. When Biden left office as vice president, he took papers with him that he shouldn't have taken, that were required by law to be sent to the National Archive and weren't. There was an investigation, and the investigation, basically the report said, nothing should be done because this is a very nice old man whose memory is failing him. Now, that's on the public record, but the media doesn't really talk about it. The administration they basically denied it, and the public didn't focus on it, but it was public, and this was a special counsel appointed by the United States Justice Department to look into the illegal taking of documents at the end of the Obama-Biden administration, and it was quite apparent to this investigator that the man was demented. It wasn't a secret, but this Democratic White House and the vice president perfectly happy to overlook that, to deny that its existence, just so they could further their own personal interest to the detriment of the country and the rest of us. It's a sad day in America when this happens, and they're still in denial.
That leads to the question, how can Joe Biden lead as president of the United States? He's not fit to run for office. He's tossed in the towel on that. If he has such severe cognitive problems, how can he function as president of the United States?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. They're denying it, and his cabinet and the vice president are allowing it to continue. And it would seem to me that the 25th Amendment ought to be exercised, and the president should be replaced. He is unfit for office. He is unfit for office, but they aren't saying that. They're saying he's just decided not to run for office. And that's not the case. The public ought to be angry about this. The public ought to be infuriated about this. The public ought to express themselves not just in the ballot box, but they ought to be talking to their senators and congressmen today about the lack of attention to the needs of the country by this administration.
For those who just tuned into the Rusk Report, our guest is a distinguished former ambassador to the European Union and Belgium, Ronald J. Gidwitz. If you're listening in Montreal, Manhattan, Northern Florida, Depew, New York, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk at Bet 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. Always greeting Canadian and European letters. A little more information about Ronald Gidwitz. In terms of public sector and political activities, in addition to serving as ambassador, Ronald Gidwitz held the positions of chairman of the Illinois State Board of Education from 1999 to 2003 and chairman of the board, City Colleges of Chicago, from 1991 through 1999. Very gifted statesman and diplomat, Ronald J. Gidwitz. Let's talk about military readiness. When you were ambassador to the European Union in Belgium, you had to be very concerned about our strength in Europe and worldwide. How are we doing now with military capabilities, with two wars going on?
Well, I mean, the situation is really quite concerning, Brian. We were ready when President Trump was in office. Ready in the sense that should there be an issue with in Eastern Europe with the Russians, we were ready for it. We had troops on guard in the Far East with the Chinese. We were ready, and the President Trump had put together what was called the Abraham Accords. And he was he had significantly made significant progress in peace in the Middle East. When this administration, the Biden-Harris administration, came into office, essentially they demonstrated significant weakness, which has resulted in the Russians feeling free to enter the Ukraine. President Biden made light of the initial invasion, small territorial taking. He gave the Iranians $70 billion of sequestered funds, which have allowed them to finance problems all through the Middle East, whether it was Hamas, which you see rising up now, or the Hezbollah, who's shooting rockets into Israel from Lebanon, or the Houthis, who have fired consistently on our ships in the Mediterranean or the Red Sea, and of course the Chinese are threatening Taiwan. I mean, it hasn't stopped. It's been persistent since this administration took office. I don't believe you would have seen this with President Trump. There would have been a reaction, and they would have stood down. The other thing that's concerning is that this administration is depleting our reservoirs of military goods. Sure, he's supporting the Ukraine, but how's he doing it? He's shipping artillery shells and missiles that we need for our defense to the Ukraine, and not producing the kind of replacements that are going to be required if we find ourselves into a hot war situation. We are far less safe today than we were 3.5 years ago. And I don't see that the next administration, if it's led by Kamala Harris, is going to improve upon it.
Talking about Kamala Harris and her plans with world peace, she snubbed the Prime Minister of Israel when he came to speak. She takes both sides. She backs Israel, and then she backs Hamas at the same time. She's all over the place. Isn't she inconsistent?
Well, she's not a leader. That's the problem. And you see it in all kinds of ways. She basically, it would appear to me, takes a poll of her progressive friends and then essentially takes the position. And when she finds that it doesn't work very well, where there is a backlash, she'll do the opposite. And that's what you see particularly with her position on Israel. You can't straddle the Middle East. You either have to lead or you have to get out of the way, and she won't do either. And I think that's what you're seeing and what you have seen this past few days with her unwillingness to meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And it's the problem that we're going to see should she have to make difficult international decisions in the future.
Another matter, and you've been involved with education for decades, is the student debt situation. How can you justify it to relieve student debt when so many people are paying cash or saving up 10, 20 years for their kids' education and they get no relief? How can you talk out of both sides of your mouth about student debt, Ambassador Ronald Gidwitz?
You can't, Brian, and that's the problem. What the Biden administration has tried to do is to essentially buy votes. Find as many people as they can give money to and give money to them. They've been in the courts for almost the entire length of this administration fighting over whether or not it's legal to forgive student loans. And for the most part, it's not. Even when the decision wasn't litigated, it was illegal in a number of cases, and they went ahead anyway. But the corollary, quite candidly, is for all the people that they've forgiven student loans for, there's a whole lot of other people who didn't get those loans forgiven, and quite frankly, they're angry about it. And I think they're going to make their anger known in the ballot box come November. It just isn't right that this administration unilaterally decide that some people get loans forgiven to be paid for by our children and grandchildren, by the way, and other people not get their loans forgiven and suffer the hardships of having to pay back those loans or be foreclosed upon if they don't. This is really an unfair situation that the administration has created.
I saw on television about 2 years ago, a man went up to Senator Warren and said, I paid $250,000 for my kids' education. Where's the relief for me? And she said, well, we'll look into that. Meaning nothing.
Yeah.
And then the other people are getting it written off. It's just sort of ridiculous. We've learned a great deal from Ronald Gidwitz, former United States Ambassador to the European Union and Belgium, a very gifted diplomat and statesman, on the Rusk Report. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production. Thank you to those who've called recently about our guest, Governor George Pataki, self-made billionaire John Kotsmatidis, and Undersheriff William Cooley. Next week we'll have New York State Republican Chairman Edward Cox, who's a friend of Ambassador Gidwitz, on this program. Thank you for teaching us so much about the status of America today and strength worldwide, Ambassador Ronald Gidwitz. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
Messy fans, Lowe's Messy Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messy moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messy Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.